Come, Holy Spirit, come today. We thank you for the power that you bring into our lives, the power to worship and to serve God. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In Christ's name, amen. And yesterday, I know many of you, as I begin what I'll be speaking on today, I want to just bring something that is contemporary, a little bit contemporary to you today. I know everybody was, many of you, saw the wedding yesterday, and if you didn't see the wedding, you saw parts of the wedding. If you didn't watch it, you couldn't get away from it because it was on during the day up to the news and so on. But you did see Bishop Curry, and Bishop Curry preached a fiery sermon that has never been preached in Windsor Chapel before. But Bishop Curry is a fiery Episcopalian, and I knew him. I met him when he was Reverend Curry at a couple of seminars. He's a good preacher. Now I bring him up to say, you saw somebody preaching that was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he didn't care who was sitting there, whether it was the Queen or the Archbishop of Canterbury or all the other titles. He just let loose because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens, because guess what? At the end of the day, only one person we have to please is God himself. At the end of the day, doesn't matter what the Queen feels, if she was upset, not upset. Doesn't matter who was sitting, if Prince Charles was upset, not Prince Charles, the husband, Prince Philip. Doesn't matter who was, had a stiff upper lip. Doesn't matter. But guess who was pleased? The Lord was pleased. Amen. Lives were touched and changed, and that's the key. You have to serve God with energy and power and the power of the Holy Spirit as if you love God and you love God well. And you want the world to know, and that you're filled with the Spirit. This idea of hiding in the shadows, you know, we don't have to hide in the shadows. Yes, we are Christians. We need the world to know, and that we're filled with the Spirit of God. And that God doesn't only show up when we are sick in hospitals or nursing home. No, God lives in us by his Holy Spirit. And we have it in us, and we have to live that way and rejoice in it. We're not in the weakness protection program. No, we're not. We are Christian believers. We love Jesus Christ. We should let the world know. And somebody else could get to know Jesus Christ because we love Jesus Christ. And so, friends, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're not, you could get it, because there's no charge to get the Holy Spirit. My sermon title today is, We Are Not Orphans. You know, being an orphan is a terrible thing, isn't it? When you've lost, I don't mean when we're grown and we've lost both parents, like I'm grown and I've lost both parents, and many of us who are older have, and we, even those of us who are older and have lost both parents, we miss them, we feel alone at times, we want to talk to them. But when you're an orphan, the word orphan, Jesus is going to use that word earlier in chapter 14. He's going to say, he's going to say, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He started out in chapter 14. Why? Because he was leaving. He knew he was going to leave. The disciples that had him for 3.5 years, and they were concerned. They were worried because he was giving them this kind of talk. I'm going to leave. Let not your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. In your Father's house, there are many dwelling places. They were concerned. Like, where are you going? Poor Philip said, where are you going? Do I know where you're going? Because they were worried. You know, it's like a loved one telling you, or your mother telling you before she passes on, or your dad, I'm going to leave you. You start getting worried, don't you? What do you mean you're going to leave me? And where are you going? I'd like to know where you're going. And so Jesus, in this text, he's already said it in chapter 14. In chapter 14, he alludes to the coming of the Holy Spirit, but he knows the guys are still worried. They're human like you and me. And so he says here, he says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. So when Jesus was walking the earth, he did not have to say it because he was with them. He says, but I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me where I'm going. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. The disciples were sorrowful. They were upset because he was going to leave them. Nevertheless, you know in the Bible when you see nevertheless, we say that in the Greek, something is coming. Thus, when you see Jesus say thus, or nevertheless, something else is coming, right? You're waiting for what the nevertheless means. Always, that's how you do it. When you're in seminary, the professor says, and what came after the nevertheless? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do go away, the advocate will come. The advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus had to go for the Holy Spirit to come. This triune relationship of God, then Jesus Christ, and now the Holy Spirit, was always set in motion. And so here it is, Jesus had fulfilled his work on earth, his physical work on earth. He had walked the earth for 3.5 years, and now he is promising the Holy Spirit to come. And I could understand why the guys would be confused, because I would be confused, because I'd be looking for a guy named Holy Spirit, right? I had a guy named Jesus, he came, and then we had the God the Father. I'd be looking for a guy named Holy Spirit, and how is he going to come? What is he going to wear? Who is he going to be? Because we think we know it now because we have the text. I said it to somebody yet a couple of days ago when they were asking me about something in the Bible, and I said, why did they do such and such? I said, because they were writing the Bible. They didn't have it to read, so they don't know who this Holy Spirit is. So Jesus continues in verse 12. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. That means the Holy Spirit is not going to do what? Do anything on his own. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has given me, I'm giving to you. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And so, friends, we really should desire the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of us in the mainline church, especially when we call it Holy Ghost, people start panicking and running wild. That ghost is going to show up. But you know, every now and then we need a ghost to show up so we can get a little excitement in our lives. Do you know that? Every now and then they need a ghost to show up. And so my sermon title today is, we're not orphans, friends. We're not alone. We're not by ourselves. We're not on this journey alone. We're not. Jesus made the promise. To be sure, there are seasons of our life, moments when the transition, changes, and tragedies can leave us feeling like orphans. Ups and downs can make us feel like orphans. Whether spoken or unspoken, the questions begin. What will I do now? Where do I go? What happens next when problems come? Who stands on my side? What will become of me? Those are the orphan's questions. You feel alone. There's no one with you. Those are the questions I imagine running through the heads and the hearts of the disciples who were in the gospel today, the gospel story. We fear becoming orphans. That fear points to the deeper reality that by ourselves we are not enough. It is not, however, because we are deficient. It is rather because we are never intended or created to be self-sufficient. We are never intended to stand alone as individuals. We were created to love and to be loved, and to live in relationship as persons giving themselves to each other. And so, here we are, friends, on the day of Pentecost. Jesus would tell them, don't worry, fellas. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. What they must have thought
about this Holy Spirit. So here's what he told them, and I'm not leaving. Here's what he told them. I moved this over here yesterday because I had a memorial service. And how important the Holy Spirit is to those who have gone home to be with the Lord. But he told them, he says, go wait. Jesus had planned it out. God had worked it all out together first. God the Father, we read through the Old Testament. We see the relationship with God the Father and his children. And then the promise of the Messiah would come. We read it from the prophets, from the major prophets and the minor prophets, that the Messiah would come. And the people were waiting for this Messiah. And this Messiah would come born of a virgin named Jesus. And we thought that was going to be it. If the Bible had stopped at the Gospels, if the Bible had stopped at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it would have been finished, wouldn't it? Jesus died and resurrected. Now, what would have happened to us? There'd have to be another story, right? Right? If you didn't have, we didn't have the entire Bible, and we just went to John, we didn't have the rest of it, but the rest of the Bible had to be written through us, human beings. You and me, we're still continuing to contribute to that story. And so Jesus said to them, go to the upper room. I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit. And my Bible tells me that 10 days they were in the upper room. And when you go to Israel, the upper room is there. The place they believe that they were there. You just stand in that room and you think, maybe the Holy Spirit will jump on me again. You know, sometimes we're afraid that the Holy Spirit is going to jump on us. Why? Because we're afraid of what it's going to make us do. You see, with Jesus, you got to be prepared for anything. Because he's never going to tell you to do something bad. If you're doing something bad, it's not because of Jesus. I mean, you could blame it on him, but it's not because of him. You ever hear when people are doing bad things and they're screaming out Jesus' name and, oh God, I can't stand it. When they're fighting and yelling and they're screaming and swearing in God's name, I cannot take it. Because God is never going to tell us to do anything bad. And so they were there in the upper room. Can't you see them? They were there and they were what? Worshiping and praising God, the Bible said. They were praying. Praying, praising, waiting for the Holy Spirit. It's like waiting for something good, something great, something excellent. Waiting for the promise. Remember that Jesus had died and resurrected and then showed up and showed them his hands. So they believe this guy can do anything. Don't they? Do we believe he could do anything? Right? We believe he could still do anything. Right, young people? Right? And he's going to fill you all with the Holy Spirit. We believe he could do anything. And so they were waiting and praying. And could you hear them saying, I could hear them in their prayers, come Holy Spirit, come today, come with all of your quickening powers. They don't know, they think a big guy is going to walk through the door. Right? Call Holy Spirit, I'm not kidding. And you read the context, because we expect what we know. We don't tend to expect what we don't know, right? So we know that Jesus was a man walking the earth, and he's going to send somebody, and we believe he's going to send a man who's going to come knocking at the door, his spirit. So they're praying and they're waiting. And they, you know, did some stuff to get Matthias and get somebody else in because Judas was missing. But the women were there, Mary and so on, and they were waiting. Can you imagine? They said, one writer says, they prayed so that the place shook. Because you're waiting. You could hear their voices waiting for this power. Jesus had told them, it's coming. And then on the day of Pentecost, that's why we kind of made tongues of fire. Thanks to Missy and, of course, Kathy, who did the altar here. And Missy, who made these things. Missy says, you're giving me something else to do. It's not in the job description. But I said to her, but you're filled with the Holy Spirit, aren't you? Because I'm really rubbing it in, right? I says, I need things that looks like tongues of fire. And I was just going to take a piece of material and wrap around it. And Missy says, oh no, we got to. I says, well, if you say that, you're going to have to do it. Because you know me, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit too. I said, let's just get some material and I'll wrap it around here. I'll go to Joanne Fabric. She says, oh, I call our beloved Susie. And Susie was smart enough. She didn't say, I'm going to do it. I says, can I get some red things, Susie, and cloth? So then I told my dear secretary, the church's secretary, my dear administrative person, I said, could we just get little pieces of cloth? Can I go to Joanne? Do you have a coupon? And then she started talking. No, we'll get little tongues and tissue paper. I says, well, girlfriend, I says, I don't have this artistic ability to cut papers. And I don't have time. I'm happy with a piece of cloth. And so she says, I'll go home and do it. So she did all of this, and all I did was stand and handed it to her. And she did a beautiful job for us to see, didn't she? She's not here, and she did it. And then the Holy Spirit told me to call Dick. Because Dick, I look up, and I didn't see the red thing. And I says, oh, God, we've got to get the red banner. And I left him on his cell phone. The Holy Spirit was busy last night. I was tracking everybody down. So Missy was here at 8:30 and we were putting this up. And I called Dick Lee himself. I said, it's Pentecost. You got to get that red thing up. But the Holy Spirit does more than put me on people's back, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit has better work to do than to have me. And then I put on my red and I bought a red shoe because it's Pentecost. I'm wearing a red shoe today. Not because I'm nuts, because it's Pentecost. Oh, glory to God. Right? It's a time of excitement in the church. And I want to be excited. Don't I, John? Right? I want to say, fire, fire, fall on us. On the day of Pentecost, the fire fell on us. Fire of the Holy Spirit. So the Bible tells us that there it was. They were in the upper room, and it came like tongues of fire. Hi, they just saw this thing. Could you imagine the excitement? Can't you imagine it? I can't even demonstrate it to you because I'm using my own imagination. And they begin to speak in other tongues, not because it was hocus pocus. They were from different places, right? They were from different places, and they began to understand each other languages. They began to understand if you were speaking Spanish, the folks who were speaking Spanish was filled with the Spirit speaking Spanish, or those who were speaking Greek, or whatever it was, the Parthians and so on, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And my God in heaven, the place shook. When you see pictures, you could imagine, because they thought they could change the world. And they did. 2,000 years later, we're here. And we're still talking about it, the Holy Spirit. But here's something very important for us today. For us today, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would live in us. And I believe the Holy Spirit does three things. Does many things, but I'm going to give you three C's. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Do you know when you're in your heart, and young people are going to be baptized. Do you know in your heart sometimes when you're doing something, and you know you shouldn't do it, and you hear that little voice in your heart that says to you, don't do that. That's not right. That's not what you ought to do when they offer you something in school that you shouldn't be taking. And there's something inside that says, don't do that. It is the Holy Spirit of God. The inner person, Paul called it. The inner man, the inner person. When your mother and father is not there and they can't talk to you, but deep in your soul, you know that it's wrong. Young people, you know that you ought not to do it. And grown-ups. Right? You know somehow this doesn't feel good. They want to give me something that I could put up my nose. And you know what I'm talking about, young people. You know because it's in your schools. And you know because the Spirit of God lives in you, you can't do it. Can't do it. Because God will do that. Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus loved us so much that he was going to let his Holy Spirit reside in your heart and in your soul. Isn't that powerful? The love of God through Jesus Christ was no longer going to be outside of us, but living in us, guiding us, teaching us. So it's going to convict, and then it's going to convince us. Convince us to choose what? Right or wrong. Convince us. And even when we don't do that, when we mess up because we're human beings, It is there to guide and to comfort us. The Holy Spirit will comfort us. He is the comforter. Comfort us when we get older. Comfort us through sickness. Comfort us when we are, you know, from now on, I'm going to say to folks when I'm talking to them and they're going through and they're saying, I says, Jesus is with you. Now I'm going to be saying what? The Holy Spirit is with you. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who's living in you, who's going to comfort you. Jesus is no longer walking the earth.
Praise the Lord.
And Jesus physically is no longer comforting you. He's comforting us through what? His Holy Spirit. Who lives in us. Lives in us and comforts us. Walks with us. Walks with us at the time. Yesterday, one of our members who fell, and I was talking to her on the phone, an older lady, older member, Elaine Nigemeyer, and her daughter says, Pastor, could you just talk to her, please? We want to hear your voice, and could you pray for her? And when I got off the phone, I said to her, Jesus is with you. I said, Elaine, you know, Jesus is with you. He's not going to leave you. And she says, I know that. And when I got off the phone, the Spirit of God says, no, tell her that the Holy Spirit is with her. My spirit is in her. Because Jesus is not sitting right here next to her in the bed. But his spirit is in her. Oh, glory to God. The Spirit of God is in her. That is going to bring her through. Spirit of God is in you and me today. The Holy Spirit, as I bring this home. And so we say in that song, Spirit of the living God. And so Jesus said in the word, through the words of the prophet we see it in Acts. He says when the Spirit comes, right? Everybody's going to be involved. Not just the young people, friends. He says, in the last day, God declares that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That was in Joel, in the Old Testament. He was talking about Pentecost. Joel was prophesying about Pentecost, right? In the last day, God declares that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That means the young ones will be filled. Young children. And your young men shall see visions. Young men and young women shall see visions. And even your servants, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit. And even the old folks will have visions. Praise God. All of us is caught up in this wonderful magic of receiving the Holy Spirit. Isn't that exciting, friends? And so today we could say, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Come on, church. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us and mold us and fill us and use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Sometimes, you know when last time I did a demonstration, we had a bottle of water, and I forgot to do it today for the kids. Had a bottle of water. You know when a bottle of water is flat? You get a glass of water, it's flat. Nothing is happening. You drink it and it tastes flat. Right? And then if you take something like an Alka-Seltzer, and you put it into the water, it starts fizzing and it goes pow, pow. Right? And it just starts fizzing and blowing up, and then when you drink it, it feels better. That's the Holy Spirit today. If your life has been a little bit dry and not full of pop, pop, and you don't have to pop like me, because I'm a unique popper. I'm filled with the Spirit, but I'm a different kind of filled with the Spirit, right? But you could pop in your own way. Just ask the Holy Spirit, say after me, church, Spirit of the living God, say after me.
Fall afresh on me.
Say it again. Spirit of the living God.
Fall afresh on me.
Melt me.
Mold me.
Fill me.
Use me.
Spirit of the living God. Fall afresh on me. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Let's give him a praise offering. Let's give the Spirit a praise offering. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And now we will stand on our feet and sing something that's in that hymnal. Whatever the number is.
334, Sweet Amen. Spirit.